This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kicking off the happy hour here on Gwen and Chris. Final hour of our Thursday program. NCAA March Madness continues. We'll update the scoreboard for you here in just a moment as we start hour number four. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr., of course, working his way back home. He's aboard the Big Bird from South Korea.
The Big Bird,
with
I like
the Padres.
That.
Padres with a 15-11. Yeah, that score is correct. The Padres outscored Colorado State's basketball team, at least in the first half. Padres put 15 on the board, the most they've ever scored in a game against the Dodgers. And they got a split of the two-game series, so good on the Padres. Might hear a little from Mike Shildt in the next segment.
Yes.
Some of his comments on the Padre victory today. Quite impressive as it was. How's your bracket out there? Eight games are done. Are you 8-0?
No.
Somebody might be. Well, I think we had three people out of the 100-plus that are in our contest that are still 8-0. So.
Peter, Dan, and Valerie.
Good for them.
Yes.
Scraby's 7-1. It's doing all right. My wife is 7-1. She's always doing all right in the bracket.
What are you?
6-2, which is doable. I'll accept that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Three games really stood out in the early session. First, Duquesne, my new second favorite team in college basketball. The Dukes knocked out my nemesis, all of our nemesis, BYU, 71-67. Good on Duquesne. Their first NCAA tournament game in 47 years, and they won it. Another 11-seed, Oregon, won easily over South Carolina, 87-73.
Talk about the hot team.
Yeah, Oregon's looking good right now. They're on a roll. And then really the stunning comeback of Dayton. Down 17 points to Nevada with 7 minutes to go. Dayton somehow closed the game on a 24-4 run and pulled out victory 63-60. Everything else went pretty much according to plan in the earlier games. Games right now, this isn't going to plan. 14th seed Oakland leads number 3 Kentucky 31-28.
I feel like Kentucky does this all the time.
Yeah, they lost to St. Peter's a couple of years ago. Right now, Oakland giving Kentucky a problem. Iowa State leads South Dakota State 22-14 first half. Gonzaga leads McNeese 20-12 first half. And second half, Texas now 29, Colorado State 15. Colorado State was so miserable, missing 19 of its final 20 shots in the first half. Texas went on a 25-3 run to turn that game into a bit of a runaway.
I'm cheering for Colorado State in the second half. I think they can do it.
Well, they're going to have to, like, make a shot somewhere.
Oh, well, you know, if Texas starts missing shots like that one, here we go.
Do me a favor. Stop watching and
here
finish the show. Well, here we go. We've lost them again.
No, I'm not watching.
You know,
I
you're the one that said I'm crazy about the March Madness, but you're the one that can't take your eye off the games. All right, let's finish up the Big Five, because this gambling story with the Cleveland Cavaliers coach is one that, you know, I think has got to be dealt with.
Yes.
Number one.
So, as we said before the break, we're talking about sports betting a lot lately, and it's with some different news stories. Cough, cough, Shohei Ohtani, cough, cough. But Cavaliers head coach J.B. Bickerstaff had some things to say the other day about his experiences as being a head coach and how that... and betting and bet tours, and here's what he said.
I personally have had my own instances with, you know, some of the sports gamblers where, you know, they got my telephone number and were sending me, you know, crazy messages about, you know, where I live and my kids and all that stuff. So it is a dangerous game and a fine line that we're walking for sure. It brings added pressure. It brings, you know, a distraction to the game that can be difficult for players, coaches, referees, you know, everybody that's involved in it. And I think that, you know, we really have to be careful, you know, with how close we let it get to the game, and the security of the people who are involved in it, because, again, it does carry a weight. You know, a lot of times the people who are gambling, like, this money, you know, pays their light bill or pays their rent. And then the emotions that come from that. So I do think we're walking a very fine line.
And there you go, J.B. Bickerstaff, making some really great points there. Very scary for him, very scary for his family, but I think he's 100% right. Chris, will professional sports leagues look into this or just keep plowing ahead?
They'll probably keep plowing ahead with lip service to the fact that they're looking into
it. Oh, we're very concerned as well.
Yeah. This really concerns us. They'll do things like fining Rudy Gobert $100,000 because he gave a money signal to the official in a game a month or so ago. And then he was asked about it, and he said, well, I'm just implying that gambling is a big deal in influencing the outcome of some of these games, and it's something that we need to look into. But nobody wants to hear that.
Yeah.
Because they're making too much money from gambling. I will credit J.B. Bickerstaff for sharing this. He didn't have to. He shared it, that he's been threatened and he's felt for his safety. But I don't think he was strong enough in his comments. I think his comments needed to be stronger. He said it's a dangerous game and a fine line we're walking. That's a very polite way of saying we better do something about this before somebody gets hurt, gets killed, or worse. I don't know what's worse. Or a game actually gets fixed, and then the NBA, and we're focused on the NBA here, but this could go for any sport. You don't throw this football game on Saturday afternoon, we're going to hurt your family. I mean, this is what the danger you get when you get involved with this kind of stuff. I know I am harping and
you're right.
But I'm really worried about, it's not affecting my daily life watching games. I still enjoy it. But as I said before, if there was a huge, not a controversy, but a huge situation where games were found to be fixed and sports was no longer could be trusted as being on the up and up, it could take sports down. That's the only thing.
It could.
So the leagues will keep plowing ahead, to answer your question. And they'll pay some lip service. They'll go, oh, yeah, we're worried about it too.
They better do something about it, because if anything ever happens to any player's family, any coach's family, that is going to be
It's going to be too late to do something about it then, because then something awful will have already happened.
And this happens in our society. We have to have something bad happen before we put in rules to make sure that it doesn't happen. I think we are coming to a point where we need to start making laws against this. And I know you can have burner phone numbers, and I know it's a waste of time to some people for law enforcement to be looking for this stuff. But that, to me, is a threat. That is a death threat. It doesn't matter that it came from a cell phone and a text message of a burner phone. I take those things very seriously, and I think we need to rethink a lot of things about how we're able to just say whatever we want with no repercussions.
How about J.B. Bickerstaff going on to say that the amount of times where I'm standing on the sideline and we have a 10-point lead and the spread is 11 and people are screaming at me to leave my guys in so that we can cover the spread. That's exactly what's going to keep happening.
It's like fantasy football. When twice in a game, I think it was Alexander Mattison, got death threats in his Instagram, got horrible racial slurs said about him in his Instagram. I just don't understand it, and it's very scary to me.
Well, I understand it.
Well, yeah, I understand. But it's scary. It's very scary to me, because we're going to get to a point where someone's going to be killed or injured because someone lost a bet. And it's going to be sad, and then we're all going to move on.
I am going to tell you I told you so ahead of time. Because, like I said, this story does not surprise me. It was just a matter of when. I'm glad he brought it up. I hope they do look into it. I hope they're able to do a little something about it. But these are athletes. These are coaches. They have families. They're people. They're just playing a game. And you're betting on it, so it means everything to you. And those kinds of things are starting to happen. It's going to be, I don't know, it's a big concern. It should be a much bigger concern than it is. And you can't tell me that you're concerned about it when you sign another multi-bazillion dollar deal with FanDuel.
Good point.
You just can't tell me that it really concerns you.
You can't take money and then punish players for making the money sign. It just is so backwards. So backwards. You're not teaching anyone anything when you're taking billions of dollars in one hand and then handing out fines in the other
hand. How bad have things gotten when I'm on Rudy Gobert's side about something?
That is true. We do not like Rudy after his whole COVID thing. That's just bad stuff. It's just bad. And you know what, Chris? One other thing. If you're gambling and you feel like it's the coach's fault, take a look at yourself. Look at deep inside yourself and figure out why you're gambling, because that is the actual issue. It's not the coach. Ridiculous.
All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, Padres beat the Dodgers today 15-11. I don't know what the spread was. I'm sure they went over the total number of runs scored. 26 on the board, the highest scoring Padre-Dodger game ever. What did Mike Schilt have to say about it afterwards? We'll hear from him before he stepped on the plane to leave South Korea. Also still ahead, a look ahead to tomorrow morning's Aztec-UAB game, a visit with Aztec forward Elijah Saunders. Traffic now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, get your brackets out, unless you're driving. You'll have to memorize what you've done. Four games in progress right now. Second half, Texas 37, Colorado State 27. Rams have worked their way back in it a little. They were down by 16 at the half because they missed 19 of their 20 shots before halftime. It was an ugly display. At halftime, how about this one? 14 seed, Oakland. The Golden Grizzlies leading number 3 seed Kentucky 38-35. A couple of first half scores going along as you might expect. Gonzaga leads McNeese 28-17. Iowa State leads South Dakota State 38-28. Earlier today, if you're just tuned in, BYU lost. That's enough to put me in a good mood. Duquesne knocked off the Cougs 71-67. Oregon made it two wins for an 11 seed as they beat South Carolina 87-73. The game of the day so far saw Dayton rally from 17 down in the final 7 minutes to upend Nevada 63-60. On to baseball we go, where the Padres beat the Dodgers 15-11. Yeah, you heard that right, 15-11. Scraby saw it on his phone, didn't believe the score could be true.
It's true.
But it was true. Big games. Jake, 4-for-4, 4 ribs. Campusano, 3 hits, 2 RBIs. Jackson Merrill had his first 2 career hits. Bogarts, 2 hits, 2 RBIs. And Manny finished it off with a 3-run bomb in the 9th inning after the Padres had let a 9-2 lead slip to 12-11, mostly because Mookie Betts homered and drove in 6. My goodness.
He's really good.
He's all right.
He's really good.
Then Manny hit the 3-run homer, top of 9. Robert Suarez with a 4-out save, something Josh Hader's not familiar with. Max Muncy. Oh,
wait a second. I heard that one.
What?
Something that Josh Hader is not.
Yeah, well, it's true. He's not.
Well, now he is because he got his bag, as they say.
Yeah. Max Muncy was particularly bad today. 2 errors for the Dodgers and 2 more misplays that were ruled hits, including a ground ball down the line by Campusano that Muncy knocked into foul territory for a double.
And then he just stood there and watched it roll down the line.
Yeah, he didn't even go pick up the ball, did
Not
he?
Even once. He just stood there.
What did I say about Max Muncy earlier in the show, Scrape?
Well, if you
can't believe you don't have it handy.
Well, you told me not to have it handy.
I know you've been playing
so
it all day long.
This is what Chris said earlier.
Max Muncy sucks. I'm only speaking for all Padre fans out there, because I know you all hate him. And today was a good day if you're a Max Muncy hater. After the game, Mike Shildt talking about the Padres' performance. One of the things he was focusing on was their ability to continue scoring today.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. You know, staying hungry, keep having a good at-bats, be the best at getting better. Guys were hungry, great at-bats the whole way through. I mean, basically go down the whole lineup, you know, starting with Bogey. He set the tone. Toddy, great at-bats. Crony, what a day, man. You know, lays out four ropes and sack fly. You know, Manny with the big homer to you know, give us some space that we, you know, would nice to have. And, of course, Campy had a nice day, and Jackson Merrill had by that first knock. So, just relentless. Loved it.
Yeah, something a manager would definitely love, a 17-hit attack that included two doubles by Campisano, a double by Merrill, a triple by Cronenworth, and the first Padre home run of the year by Manny in the ninth inning. Ha-Seong Kim had his first stolen base today as well. Padres did it from every angle. Not pictured, Tyler Wade with two more hits, now batting .600.
Ooh, that's a good average right there.
Doing, yeah, that'll work.
Through two?
Through
amazing.
Two.
Amazing
Tyler Wade.
Average.
All right, Padres jumped on the very rich Dodger pitcher, Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
Nice job.
Yeah, he's got a lot of money. Didn't have a lot of stuff today, though. Padres treated him rudely. One inning, four hits, five runs, one walk, one hit batter. Mike Shildt was asked if the Padres had any specific plan to attack Yamamoto.
Yeah, you know, we talked before the game. Scan asked a question about, you know, what we'd seen and looked for. And, you know, we just look for basically, you know, ball up the middle of the plate and put a good swing on him. And guys had good approaches and good at-bats.
Okay, and the other one was about Robert Suarez. How important was it for him to come back?
Robert Suarez got the four out save. But here's the thing on Yamamoto, because I, you know, they ripped him badly today. There's no question. But he was throwing pitches right in the middle of the strike zone.
They just meatballs.
You can't do that in Major League Baseball, whether you make $325 million or $3 million. You throw it in the middle, these big league hitters are going to punish you. And that was the story for Yamamoto today. Sorry to say, you Yamamoto fans out there.
How many of those are in our audience?
12.
I mean, I do.
I've counted our entire audience. There's 12.
I don't even know if there's that many in our audience.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you that there'll be at least 12, because at least 12 listeners will wind up with him on their fantasy teams some way or another.
Okay, let's talk about this,
So they will then
Chris.
Be fans.
We're going to be in the same fantasy baseball league this year.
Mm-hmm.
He comes up and it's a good spot. You taking him?
I don't know. I'm not giving you my draft strategy. I don't know. It depends who
That's
else
a
is
very
available.
Chris answer.
did the Padres make a statement to the rest of the NL West today? Mike Shildt was asked. After all, everybody thought the Dodgers would just win 162 games.
Major League Baseball did.
Yeah. I mean, you know, listen, it's two good teams going at each other. Hard fought yesterday, hard fought today. You know, ended up leaving here 1-1. You know, it was a good battle. So, you know, clearly good games, and, you know, we did our part for sure. We're going to continue to just compete against how we play the game, play the Padre baseball.
You know, the one thing that, you know, it's one win, and it's nice to have. But let me ask you this, Scrabe. Other than the famous playoff series, right, which we'll never forget.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll always have the upper hand on the Dodgers for that. The Dodgers have destroyed the Padres. How many, I don't have it in front of me anymore, but I know I had it last year at some point. How many regular seasons in a row have the Dodgers won the season series?
Gosh.
Like 13 straight years, something like that?
Something insane.
It's ridiculous. And last year, what'd they play, 13 games? Dodgers won 9, 10?
10, the
probably. Year before, they played 18 games. The Dodgers won 14 or 15. I mean, they have destroyed the Padres. So just the fact that the Padres got a win, even one, is a step in the right direction. It doesn't mean you're, you know, sizing World Series rings, but I mean, the Dodgers have owned the Padres, and I know that the Padre fans always say, oh, yeah, but what about the playoff series? Yeah, I got it. I mentioned it. But you still can't argue that the truth of the matter, which has been the season series, have been a joke. It hasn't even been close.
And then, yeah, the last win that I can remember in the regular season is the win with the Kershaw meme. It's the last one I can think of.
Yeah. They won a few more last year.
They did.
Yeah, the Kershaw meme kicked off a stretch of like seven straight Dodger wins over the Padres.
Well, it was because they were mad.
Yeah.
I think this...
I hope nobody put up a Yamamoto meme on the way home today.
I don't think so.
Let's learn our lesson.
I think what this series did tell us and all of baseball fans is that the Dodgers have some roster concerns that they need to work on if they're going to be this dominant team. I know it's two games through.
Think they have roster concerns. They have defense concerns.
Okay, defense.
Their
concerns.
Defense
That's
is
fair.
Terrible.
That's fair.
Their defense is absolutely terrible, and they're going to have to overcome that night after night after night with pitching and hitting. And you know what? Your pitching is going to suffer when your defense is that bad.
Yeah.
So.
That's true.
That's going to cost LA, and I don't know what they're going to do with Max Muncy. Just leave him over at third base and just let him be terrible.
They can't keep him there, and they're already.
What are they
going to
do?
I don't know if this is true.
They're going to put him on first base. Freddie Freeman's there. They're not going to put him at DH. Shohei's there.
I saw in the chat.
They got to keep Muncy at third and just suffer.
And I don't know if it's true or not, but they're possibly talking Mookie at third. I can't believe that would be
it. And then what? Muncy's going to go to short?
I don't know what's going to. Gavin Lux goes back to short. Muncy goes to second.
Yeah. To chat's just.
They may be wrong on that one.
They
may be wrong on that one.
They are.
But it was nice to see them bounce back. Because last year, they get beat in that game. I don't know that we have confidence in them the following day.
Well, it's one game. That's all it is. But it was nice.
And I'm
no
pumped
question.
Up!
I see you are.
Yes.
A 7:47 to go. Colorado State trying to make a belated comeback here. Still down 7 to Texas, which is better than where they were. But they still got some work to do. Score, Texas 39, Colorado State 32. 7:30 to play. Gwen and Chris coming back. Elijah Saunders of the Aztourneysticks, get ready to take the floor.
And we'll be joined by the great Brett Michaels of Poison and, of course, Rock of Love.
Listen to Ben and Woods weekdays from 6 to 10 on 97.3 The Fan.
Tomorrow morning at 10:45, the Aztecs take center stage in the March Madness tournament. I said it the other day, Scraby, we're just lucky that they're there every year now. We take it for granted practically. We shouldn't. It's not easy. No guarantee. I mean, there's 68 teams that make it. Sounds like a lot until you consider there's 340 Division I schools.
That is so. Yeah.
Congrats to Dutcher and these guys coming back after last year's magical run, losing as much talent as they lost, and being able to get back to the tournament again.
I mean, how does he do it? How does he continue to bring in talent like he does? Because it's like you said, it's every single year. And best colleges have one year where they're not good enough to make it.
Well, a lot of it is, you know, his ability to relate to kids. After all, Brian Dutcher recruited many of the players in the Fab Five.
Is that right? I didn't know that he recruited them.
He worked for Steve Fisher.
No, that's true. That's true.
He said he followed Juwan Howard around for an entire year one time. Make sure he got him. I mean, that's only the greatest recruiting class in college basketball history. Brian Dutcher doesn't get all the credit. He wouldn't want to take it all. But he certainly deserves some of it.
Yeah, he does.
He's just real good. He's real good at dealing with people. And then once he gets them, he's real good at motivating them and figuring out what makes them tick.
I've only had like two or three instances of being with Brian Dutcher and just like not in a press conference setting. And he just makes you feel like you're an important person. He makes you feel like he's actually talking to you and not just, you know, having small talk or anything
like
that.
To me, it's a simple equation. Do not act any holier than thou that you are. Just be a guy.
Yep.
That's what Brian Dutcher is. He's just a guy.
That is true.
And he deflects all of the attention to these kids.
Every time.
So, anyway, you know, I'm hoping that we get another run. I understand it. If we don't, it's hard to get a run in the NCAA tournament. Like what happened last year, I said it at the time, might be a once in a lifetime.
Vibes are good right now.
But, you know, let's see if we can't get something started tomorrow.
What did Jaden Ledee say after the first win in the Mountain West tournament? This is March. This is what we do.
Yeah.
And then they lost, I guess.
They also have to shoot better.
Yes,
you can
they
say
do
all you can
better.
Say everything you want to say. You still have to put the ball in the basket.
We need and like a Jordan Shackle to come out of retirement to shoot some threes. Who was the what was his name? His name was Max something. Can't remember. He shot a bunch of threes
for the Aztecs.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it was like 5-6 years ago. No. But yeah. He made a bunch of threes. Yeah. I mean, aren't they known as a three shooting team?
No,
you're known as a defensive team.
Yes, they are. They had the lowest three-point shooting percentage in the conference.
Okay, great.
And we've seen teams like Colorado State and Boise State in this tournament who can't hit the broadside of the barn.
That's true.
The Aztecs are worse than them.
I saw a layup, like, just completely miss in this Colorado State game. Like, wide open layup.
Texas 46, Colorado State 38, 3:46 to go. Still time. But the Rams need a bit of a miracle at this point. All right, Elijah Saunders. He's a guy that can shoot. You know, when he gets going, he's had some hot streaks. He's had some cold streaks. Hopefully he'll be blowing hot starting tomorrow. I'll tell you one thing. He did a great job in our interview. And I know you'll enjoy meeting this young man ahead of tomorrow's game after traffic.
Joey Danica with Ben and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Good to have you on the show.
I'm doing good. Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. All right. I know that you guys are focused on the job at hand. You got to, you know, Friday and everything, and we're going to ask you about that. But I can't help but go back to the picture of you and Miles Byrd racing off the bench to celebrate with Lamont Butler. I know it's been brought up to you. Is there anything you guys can take from last year's run to the championship game that might be able to help this year's team?
Yeah, I would say the main thing was the perseverance of last year's team. A lot of games, I felt like we were down at halftime even. Just understanding that the game is never over. You know, that's the one thing I took from last year's team. Anytime we were down or struggling or couldn't score, you know, the guys were always positive and always believed that, you know, if we get stops, we're eventually going to score and come back and we can win every game.
Talking to Elijah Saunders here of the Aztecs basketball team. They are going to be playing on Friday against UAB. And just to kind of stay with last year's team, I guess what I am curious about, because you were a freshman last year, you go to the national championship in your first year. That's awesome. That's very cool. What can you take from that experience, do you think, for the rest of your career? Because that came at the beginning of your college career, and I'm sure you probably learned something.
Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely not what I expected my first year to be like, to go to the national championship. But, you know, it was a great experience. And, you know, it really just showed me this year, especially how hard it is to do it. You know, last year we won the conference in league play. We won the conference championship. You know, we went to the Final Four. So that's really all I expect. I expect to win the league. I expect to win the league title. And we didn't do it this year. You know, it just shows you how much work goes into winning and being successful and, you know, how much just how important, you know, the work is.
Elijah, take us, if you can, you know, into the locker room a little bit. And who's been speaking up this week? Is it Tramell, Ledee, Lamont Butler? If you guys just relied on Coach Dutcher, what's kind of being said around the guys as you head into this, you know, into another run here in March?
Yeah, all those guys. you know, a couple of weeks ago, Micah talked to some of the guys after practice one day. Just, you know, this is important to us. You know, last year's team, you know, we're a new team. You know, we're a different group. Still some of the same guys, but, you know, everyone has something to prove. And you know, knowing that this is, you know, Darion's for sure last run, Jaden's last run, Jay Powell, you know, they're out of eligibility after this year. So, you know, the next game we lose would be their last. So, you know, just trying to give it all we got for them and, you know, come together right now is, you know, before we make a run in this tournament.
Talking to Elijah Saunders here of the Aztecs basketball team. And Elijah, you guys, not by design, but you do get behind and then you make furious comebacks. Is there any, what does Coach Dutcher tell you when you guys are down by, say, 12, 14 points? What does he tell you to get you back into the game?
Just keep defending. Keep being patient on offense. You know, I feel like in games where we've gone down and not been able to come back and win were games where we kind of were less connected as a team. So, you know, we don't want to be down, but when it happens, just come together as a team and, you know, get stops and play together on offense and we'll be good.
You know, Elijah, I mean, you're giving us heart attacks in all of these games by falling behind by so much. So stop doing that, will you? Please tell everybody that Uncle Chris said to stop falling behind. Elijah Saunders is with us. And, you know, you were one of the guys that, you know, from last year's team that was able to, you know, make it into the starting lineup this year. And, I mean, you know, what a thrill to join the starting lineup with Lamont Butler and with Tramell and Micah and Jaden Ladee and everybody coming off a national championship run. And, you know, I thought you did great. And then you had a little bit of a slump, and Brian Dutch decided to bring you off the bench. And that seems to really kind of work for you. Talk a little bit about your journey, personal journey this season.
Yeah. Even as you go into last season, you know, coming from high school, you know, always starting all those years and then, you know, not even touching the court for the end of the season last year. And, you know, I felt like no one had seen me play, like, especially my family. Like, you know, I feel like it had been so long since my family had seen me play. So, you know, I wanted to start this year. That was my goal, you know, even though, you know, not many people might have thought I would have started in that Philly game. You know, that was my goal. But, you know, starting, I thought it was going to, you know, be the greatest thing ever, you know, make me the happiest person ever. But, you know, that's not what it's all about. It's just about coming in and competing and being in the right headspace when you check into the game. You know, I feel like in my worst part of the season this year was a time where I was really just focused on the wrong things in the game, you know, overcomplicating it. So, just refocusing on my headspace this season throughout times and, you know, trying to do whatever it takes for us to win, because that's all that's important at the end of the day.
It is. That's very wise stuff from you, Elijah. We're talking to Elijah Saunders here of the Aztecs basketball team. And my last question for you is, when your college basketball career is all over, said and done, how would you like to be remembered by Aztecs fans?
Man,
that's a deep question, Elijah.
Yeah.
I put you on the spot a little bit. I apologize for that.
I would say a winner.
There you go. Know,
I would say
very
I'm
good.
Yeah. I would say I'm off to a good start.
Yes,
but you know, someone who, you know, just always has a smile on their face. You know, I just love to play this game. I'm blessed, you know, with this opportunity to be at such an amazing school and, you know, such amazing coaches and teammates that, you know, just a winner, someone who values winning more than anything and someone who just enjoys to play the game.
I don't know what I'm going to do with Scraby over here asking all these deep thought questions, but you answered it very well. Elijah Saunders is with us. I remember that guy, Elijah Saunders. He was on all of those Final Four teams.
There you go.
He was on all
perfect. That's exactly what they need to say.
There you go. He was on all of those Final Four teams. Elijah, we talked to some people from Birmingham today. Just get a little scouting report. I'm sure you've seen a lot of film. Sounds like they play a lot of switching defense, some 1-3-1. Offensively, you guys, you know, it's been a little inconsistent. Where are you guys focusing your efforts heading into this game and practice this week?
Yeah, practice today we saw a bunch of defenses. You know, we had a lot of live segments where we just attacked them differently. They switched defenses throughout the entire game. You know, you might see a 1-3-1, 2-3, man-to-man. They might extend it to the full court, 2-2-1. So it's a lot. But, you know, it's a style that we haven't really seen this year. But, you know, we'll be prepared. We've already come up with ways how we're going to attack each defense. And, you know, whatever's thrown at us, we'll be prepared for.
Well, I tell you one thing. None of us, even the most ardent of Aztec for lifers, and I consider myself to be one of those people, having gone to San Diego State, none of us were prepared for what you guys took us through last year. It was a wild ride. It was about the most fun I've ever had as a fan. And I'm hoping, why not do it again? We really appreciate you coming on the show today. I talked to Richard, the media relations guy, and he said, you know, Elijah is a very well-spoken, well-thought-out young man. And Richard was right.
Yes,
we appreciate
was.
Having you on the show, Elijah. Good luck this weekend. We will be watching. And we'll look forward to hopefully catching up with you down the road here.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me on.
Absolutely. Very good. Elijah Saunders right there. All right. That doesn't get you ready for tomorrow morning. I don't know what it was. 10:45 tomorrow morning. TNT is the network that is carrying the game tomorrow.
So channel 27 for me.
27 for you. 2:45 for DirecTV people. Beyond that, I'm not sure. all right. Games in progress, NCAA tournament. And then before we say goodbye, we got a big baseball signing that just happened
big
a few moments
baseball
ago.
Signing.
So I'll give it to you. But at halftime, Gonzaga leads McNeese 48-25. All Zags. They've hit 8 of 11 3-point shots.
Why? All of a sudden they're good?
Well,
they've been middling all year.
No, they got hot. The last 2.5 months, they were good. They got off to a really bad start, but it's a good coach who knows what to do.
Oh, that's true.
Gonzaga is starting to heat up. 8 of 11 from three.
That's incredible.
Something the Aztecs can only dream of. also, halftime, Iowa State, the 2 seed, leads South Dakota State 40-33. So that's a little closer than I think a lot of people expected.
Well, didn't you say Iowa State wasn't the greatest?
I didn't say that.
I thought, where did
somebody
we hear
somebody else
that?
Might have said that.
Was that Sean Paul, maybe?
Nope. I don't think so. I think overall the Big 12 is overrated.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, there's thought to be the greatest conference in basketball history, and I don't know that they are. Oakland still leads Kentucky. 13 minutes left.
Joey Danica with Ben and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Good to have you on the show.
I'm doing good. Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. All right, I know that you guys are focused on the job at hand. You got to, you know, Friday and everything, and we're going to ask you about that. But I can't help but go back to the picture of you and Miles Byrd racing off the bench to celebrate with Lamont Butler. I know it's been brought up to you. Is there anything you guys can take from last year's run to the championship game that might be able to help this year's team?
Yeah, I would say the main thing was the perseverance of last year's team. A lot of games I felt like we were down at halftime even. Just understanding that the game is never over. You know, that's the one thing I took from last year's team. Anytime we were down or struggling or couldn't score, you know, the guys were always positive and always believed that, you know, if we get stops, we're eventually going to score and come back and we can win every game.
Talking to Elijah Saunders here of the Aztecs basketball team. They are going to be playing on Friday against UAB. And just to kind of stay with last year's team, I guess what I am curious about, because you were a freshman last year, you go to the national championship in your first year. That's awesome. That's very cool. What can you take from that experience, do you think, for the rest of your career? Because that came at the beginning of your college career, and I'm sure you probably learned something.
Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely not what I expected my first year to be like, to go to the national championship. But, you know, it was a great experience. And, you know, it really just showed me this year, especially how hard it is to do it. You know, last year we won the conference, in league play. We won the conference championship. You know, we went to the Final Four. So that's really all I expect. I expect to win the league. I expect to win the league title, and we didn't do it this year. You know, it just shows you how much work goes into to winning and being successful, and you know, how much just how important, you know, the work is.
Elijah, take us, if you can, you know, into the locker room a little bit. And who's been speaking up this week? Is it Tramell, Ladee, Lamont Butler? If you guys just relied on Coach Dutcher, what's kind of being said around the guys as you head into this, you know, into another run here in March?
Yeah, all those guys. you know, a couple weeks ago, Micah talked to some of the guys after practice one day. Just, you know, this is important to us. You know, last year's team, you know, we're a new team. You know, we're a different group. Still some of the same guys, but, you know, everyone has something to prove. And, you know, knowing that this is, you know, Darion's for sure last run, Jaden's last run, Jay Powell, you know, they're out of eligibility after this year. So, you know, the next game we lose would be their last. So, you know, just trying to give it all we got for them and, you know, come together right now is, you know, before we make a run in this tournament.
Talking to Elijah Saunders here of the Aztecs basketball team. And Elijah, you guys, not by design, but you do get behind and then you make furious comebacks. Is there any, what does Coach Dutcher tell you when you guys are down by, say, 12, 14 points? What does he tell you to get you back into the game?
Just keep defending. Keep being patient on offense. You know, I feel like in games where we've gone down and not been able to come back and win were games where we kind of were less connected as a team. So, you know, we don't want to be down, but when it happens, just come together as a team and, you know, get stops and play together on offense and we'll be good.
You know, Elijah, I mean, you're giving us heart attacks in all of these games by falling behind by so much. So stop doing that, will you? Please tell everybody that Uncle Chris said to stop falling behind. Elijah Saunders is with us. And, you know, you were one of the guys that, you know, from last year's team that was able to, you know, make it into the starting lineup this year. And, I mean, you know, what a thrill to join the starting lineup with Lamont Butler and with Tramell and Micah and Jaden Ladee and everybody coming off a national championship run. And, you know, I thought you did great. And then you had a little bit of a slump, and Brian Dutch decided to bring you off the bench. And that seems to really kind of work for you. Talk a little bit about your journey, personal journey this season.
Yeah. Even as you go into last season, you know, coming from high school, you know, always starting all those years and then, you know, not even touching the court for the end of the season last year. And, you know, I felt like no one had seen me play, like, especially my family. Like, you know, I feel like it had been so long since my family had seen me play. So, you know, I wanted to start this year. That was my goal, you know, even though, you know, not many people might have thought I would have started in that Philly game. You know, that was my goal. But, you know, starting, I thought it was going to, you know, be the greatest thing ever, you know, make me the happiest person ever. But, you know, that's not what it's all about. It's just about coming in and competing and being in the right headspace when you check into the game. You know, I feel like in my worst part of the season this year was a time where I was really just focused on the wrong things in the game, you know, overcomplicating it. So, just refocusing on my headspace this season throughout times and, you know, trying to do whatever it takes for us to win, because that's all that's important at the end of the day.
It is. That's very wise stuff from you, Elijah. We're talking to Elijah Saunders here of the Aztecs basketball team. And my last question for you is, when your college basketball career is all over, said and done, how would you like to be remembered by Aztecs fans?
Man,
that's a deep question, Elijah.
Yeah.
I put you on the spot a little bit. I apologize for that.
I would say a winner.
There you go.
I would say I'm off to a good start.
Yes, you are.
But, you know, someone who, you know, just always has a smile on their face. You know, I just love to play this game. I'm blessed, you know, with this opportunity to be at such an amazing school and, you know, with such amazing coaches and teammates that, you know, just a winner, someone who values winning more than anything and someone who just enjoys to play the game.
I don't know what I'm going to do with Scraby over here asking all these deep thought questions, but you answered it very well. Elijah Saunders is with us. I remember that guy, Elijah Saunders. He was on all of those Final Four teams.
There you go.
He was on all
perfect. That's exactly what they need to say.
There you go. He was on all of those Final Four teams. Elijah, we talked to some people from Birmingham today. Just get a little scouting report. I'm sure you've seen a lot of film. Sounds like they play a lot of switching defense, some 1-3-1. Offensively, you guys, you know, it's been a little inconsistent. Where are you guys focusing your efforts heading into this game and practice this week?
Yeah, practice today we saw a bunch of defenses. You know, we had a lot of live segments where we just to attack them differently. They switch defenses throughout the entire game. You know, you might see a 1-3-1, 2-3, man-to-man. They might extend it to the full court, 2-2-1. So it's a lot. But, you know, it's a style that we haven't really seen this year. But, you know, we'll be prepared. We've already come up with ways how we're going to attack each defense. And, you know, whatever's thrown at us, we'll be prepared for.
Well, I tell you one thing. None of us, even the most ardent of Aztec for Lifers, and I consider myself to be one of those people, having gone to San Diego State, none of us were prepared for what you guys took us through last year. It was a wild ride. It was about the most fun I've ever had as a fan. And I'm hoping, why not do it again? We really appreciate you coming on the show today. I talked to Richard, the media relations guy, and he said, you know, Elijah is a very well-spoken, well-thought-out young man. And Richard was right.
Yes,
we appreciate
was.
Having you on the show, Elijah. Good luck this weekend. We will be watching. And we'll look forward to hopefully catching up with you down the road here.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me on.
Absolutely. Very good. Elijah Saunders right there. All right. That doesn't get you ready for tomorrow morning. I don't know what it was. 10:45 tomorrow morning. TNT is the network that is carrying the game tomorrow.
So channel 27 for me.
27 for you. 2:45 for DirecTV people. Beyond that, I'm not sure. all right. Games in progress. NCAA tournament. And then before we say goodbye, we got a big baseball signing that just happened
big
moments ago.
Signing.
So I'll give it to you. But at halftime, Gonzaga leads McNeese 48-25. All Zags. They've hit 8 of 11 3-point shots.
Why? All of a sudden they're good?
Well,
they've been middling all year.
No, they got hot. The last 2.5 months, they were good. They got off to a really bad start, but it's a good coach who knows what to do.
Oh, that's true.
Gonzaga is starting to heat up. 8 of 11 from three.
That's incredible.
Something the Aztecs can only dream of. also halftime, Iowa State, the 2 seed, leads South Dakota State 40-33. So that's a little closer than I think a lot of people expected.
Well, didn't you say Iowa State wasn't the greatest?
I didn't say that.
I thought, where did
somebody
we hear
somebody else
that?
Might have said that.
Was that Sean Paul, maybe?
Nope. I don't think so. I think overall the Big 12 is overrated.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, there's thought to be the greatest conference in basketball history, and I don't know that they are. Oakland still leads Kentucky. 13 minutes left. 14-seeded Golden Grizzlies 49, Kentucky 45. And about to wrap it up is Texas. With a minute to play, they lead Colorado State 53-43. It all fell apart for Colorado State late in the first half when they missed 19 out of 20 shots in one stretch.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, was that ugly?
1 for 20.
Oh, my goodness. It was so awful to watch.
It is awful to watch.
The Mountain West Conference will be 1-3 in the tournament.
This is not good, Chris.
I told you it wasn't good, and you're the one rooting against Nevada. You know?
Special interests.
All right, here's the baseball signing. J.D. Martinez, formerly the Dodgers, now a Met. 1 year, $12 million. Mets get their man, DH JD Martinez. Drove in over 100 runs last year. The guy can flat out hit. So the Mets add him to their roster. I don't know that that makes a dent on the Braves and the Phillies and the NL East, but, you know, the Mets have a lot of money, so they might as well spend some of it and see what they can do.
I think they had $13 million after the Dylan Cease acquirement, as I would say, which
who's
is not
that?
A word.
The Padres, the Padres you're talking about?
They had $13 million under the luxury tax. He signed for $12 million.
So
it's too close for comfort there.
Oh, you're saying that the Padres should have thought about it?
No, I'm saying that they probably didn't think about it because it would take them too close to the luxury tax, and they don't want to do anything to put them over that luxury tax.
I don't think J.D. Martinez is the, you know, the right fit.
I agree.
And it doesn't matter anymore because he's not coming here.
That is true.
He's going to be a New York Met.
That is true.
All right. What else we got? We got a couple of minutes left here. Kick some things around.
Well, we got a Scraby show coming up.
Scraby Chronicles.
Scraby Chronicles
coming up next. Do you have a little preview of the Daily Gripe yet?
I don't actually have one today so far, but someone did, Dominic on the chat, actually pointed out something really funny. But most of my daily gripes come from me driving or me walking the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And so yesterday I was walking the dogs and my neighbor came by and he was like, don't tell me about the Padres game. Through the first three innings, and this was game one, through the first three innings, Padres are leading, don't tell me. Meanwhile, I had all of the information that Jake Cronenworth Glovegate going on in my head, and I'm sitting there like trying not to give away anything. I'm not good at that. I like to just say things. I want to just go for it, but I didn't, and it kind of annoyed me that he did the whole
thing. That annoyed you?
Fingers in the ears.
You don't respect somebody that's trying not to hear a score?
I did respect him because I didn't say anything.
But you didn't. You respected him against your will.
I should have said, oh, man, wait till that eighth inning.
Why are you such a hater.
I wouldn't do that, though, and I didn't do that. And I wouldn't even do that to you.
I was watching the game, as you said, as you know, on DVR this morning after I got back from my workout. My wife was at her workout while I was watching. I was through seven innings on the replay.
Okay.
You know, I didn't know the score or anything. My wife comes walking in. Now, I know that at her gym, they've got the game on live.
Ah.
So I knew that she would have the final score when she walked in the door.
Okay.
So from where I was seated on the couch, when I heard the door open, I yelled across, I'm watching the game. Don't tell me anything. She goes, oh, Padres won.
What?
Yeah, she said she didn't hear me accurately.
But she knows you.
That's what I thought.
I mean, she knows that I know that rule.
She knows that I tape games. She knows that she ought to at least look before she leaps.
Wow. What was your reaction?
That didn't matter to me that much. I just buzzed through the last couple of innings. I saw Manny hit the 3-run homer, and I knew it was game over.
There you go.
But yeah, no, she told me a little bit ahead of time. I have made a deal with the fact that since I record games, from time to time, despite my best efforts, I'm going to hear the final score. So I've come to grips with that. I do everything I can to avoid it, but I know it's going to happen. So when it happens, I don't normally get too angry because it's just part of doing business.
Good on you.
Thank you. All right, Scraby Chronicles are coming up next. In 17 seconds, Colorado State season will be over. Texas will advance to the second round of the NCAA tournament. Keep an eye on that Oakland-Kentucky game, though, Scraby. Oakland by four with 12 minutes left.
Yes. Kentucky does this a lot in the first round.
Scraby Chronicles. We'll be back tomorrow after the Aztec game. I hope I'm in a good mood. We'll see you at 2 o'clock. Mañana.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.